Simon Shin Chav Ches Sif Vav. Matash Al Gaba Yad. You have it? Shin Chav Ches. You're good. One more page. Here is Shin Chav Ches. You're going to look at your Vav.
And the question is, Vav.
Matash Al Gaba Yad, Gaba Regal. The Maka, which is on the outside of the hand or the outside of the foot. Okay, Mishabola Aluka, a person swallows a leech. Okay, Mishanoshka Kelim Shoito, you got bit by a rabid dog. Echad Mizekle Offer, or any type of the things that slither in the ground. Hamimisim, there are snakes, etc., which have venom. Philosophic imamis, even if you're not sure if it's venom is strong enough to kill a person. Imlav, if not. So all of these things are so we said before that that makoshal cholol, said before in Sif Gimel, anything which has the status of called makoshal cholol, a maka which is in the internal organs, is considered life threatening, and your makabel shop is for it. So now we're saying these things over here, these things are not, none of them are internal. Well, except for maybe Bola Luka, right? He got a mark on the back of his hand, the back of his foot, a rabid dog. These are not, but they have the same halachic status, but Maka Shecholol. We also pointed out that Maka Shecholol, we do not, even if there's no expert there who says that his life is threatened, we assume that the life is threatened, and we're mechalal. Whereas the makosh eno shecholol, sometimes it is. We need somebody who's has some level of expertise to say that it's life threatening. Okay. So that's a vote. Zion. Mechalon Shabbos al kol makosh enasis machmas barzel, a makosh which comes from with iron. There's a puncture wound with iron. So we consider that is considered potentially, there's a potential for tetanus, etc., which tetanus is, nowadays, thank God we have a tetanus shot, but we don't, tetanus is life-threatening. If they have a case where they have a type of a blister which is developing by the anus of the person, so these things are considered life-threatening. Now, Val Simto, Vuanikar Flunkaru Balaz, I do not know what that is exactly. Val Mishieshli Kadachas, Cham Beyoser, Oyim Simur. If a person has a fever, and the fever is high, so how high is considered high? So Moshe Zatzal said that for a child, 104, under 104 is not considered life-threatening. Above 104 already is considered that we are concerned that there's, it's life-threatening. And for an adult, he says 102. He says 102 for an adult already is considered something which is life-threatening. Now, a human being can sustain temperatures up to 108 without leaving damage. After 108, the body is going to deteriorate from that temperature. Now, if a person has a fever, so the Mishnah Berurah says that we'll see what. Or if it comes with simur, so the person has kadachas is the fever, but it's not necessarily a very very high fever, but it's coming together with chills. So that's potentially it can be an indication of an infection. Right. Both of them, the question, these are can be indications of some type of infection, and these infections can be life threatening. Now for us, some of them, the solution is taking them at, they had to do who knows what. They would bring the fever down. They would, whatever they would do to bring the. We take some aspirin nowadays, but something of that sort. Okay. Mishabur and Yudches. Alkomako. This puncture wound, filo eno bechalala goof, So we said if there's a makkah, some type of a wound on the back of the hand or the back of the foot, so that's considered life, that can potentially be life threatening. That's not, it's even without being a, you know, dealing with iron, which is rusty, etc. But if it's a iron, which in general there was a concern that it had potential for other problems, that's going to be an issue anywhere in the body. So that's your typhus. You know, the typhus is, it came from a very high fever. So we have to be concerned that there's a very high fever. It's coming with something of that type of an issue. Okay. Now, it came with simra. What is simra? The summer saris besori. The hairs on my body stand up. It's called shvidirin. In German, in Yiddish, it's called shvidirin. Okay.
Schmitz.
So it's what it exactly is. It's more like it's bumps, it's chills. The person is together with the heat. He's also getting a chill at the same time. Your regular fever first is a person will be chilled, then he gets a fever. So ain't that cholesterol sakana? That's not considered cholesterol sakana. But in case where at the same time he's getting both elements, we said that, you know, that's, I mean, the body is being definitely being impacted by something significant. So we're mechal of Shabbos. Become welcome. I get any hoodie, but the mechal of Shabbos. But even in the case where it's kriyas and then chamimus, which we don't consider chol sheyesh b'sakana, so Yisrael can't do the malacha. But we could have a goy do malacha for him if that was whatever is necessary the goy to do, even if it's would involve a malacha.
So the way that these issues of different ailments are listed in this section of the Mishnah Berurah, okay, or the Shulchan Aruch, is there a particular order or thought process behind how these things are sorted together, or is it not necessarily sorted in a particular manner?
There is a flow. It's some amount of space information. Right? He mentioned Makkah Shacholol. He just described what's a Makkah Shacholol. That was Gimel Dalet. It gives you the halachic status. You don't need Omer. Makkah Shena Shacholol does need Omer. Then it gave you certain Makkahs which are not in the halal, which is means in the internal organs, and still they're considered life threatening, and that was involved in Zion, especially the flow of what he's doing.
Because I think this past, the one previous or one before, he was talking about whether or not you have an internal wound of some kind, whether it's in the mouth or somewhere else in the body, and here we're getting into other things which seemingly are almost related, and I'm just wondering why there's a reason why they're parsed out into a different section altogether.
No, we set up with Makkah Shacholol. That's a Gemara. Okay, so
Makkah
Shacholol is a Gemara. Then the Gemara says, we give you the halachic status of Makkah Shacholol, and that it doesn't need Omer. Makkah Shacholol does need Omer. Right, so we dealt with Makkah Shacholol. Then involved, we said there are other Gemaras, and these sources of these are actually our Gemaras also. There were certain Makkahs which were considered life threatening, even though they weren't Shacholol. And that's what Vav and Zion are giving you. Okay. Misha Chosidam. The Chosidam was a common thing in the time of the Gemara, or in the time of Chazal. So, exactly what it means in the modern terms, they used to bloodlet. They used to bloodlet because they felt there was problems with there was bad blood or there was too much blood. So that's called a Chosidam. The Kizana said you're allowed to let the blood. Even the person is walking. That means even if
that if you just have one more reaching the spot,
that the only thing that's going to impact him, not today but tomorrow, but you're allowed to have a Chalal Shabbos now and you don't wait till tomorrow to deal with it.
I guess, I mean,
Okay. Chaf Aleph. Mekizan Loi Osoi. Fil Ayre Yisrael. So the Jew can do the bloodletting. This account, because this is considered a tekana. Imachosudam, it makes sense, it's only a little bit of a problem. Uminker Shurak Mechush Ba'alma, then it's also, it's clear that it's not a life threatening situation. So then we are allowed to rely on our understanding of it and say it's not life threatening and not Machal Shabbos.
So why would we not require a non Jew to do that, because it's almost seems like it's certainly derisive?
Well, because the first case was saying it was a sakana. So it's the economy that it's preferred that you still should do it, not a goy.
Yeah.
Right.
But here it says it's permitted by a Jew altogether.
Right. So he says if a person is a chosid dam, so we do a cause. So he says that's even through a Jew, because it's considered life threatening. But in a case where it's just dama mixes, just a little bit, and it's not life threatening, so then you can't, obviously, the Jew wouldn't do it. Yeah?
Okay. All right. Okay. So this is going to supposedly save their life if they bleed them out a little bit.
Yeah. You know, my comment on that is this is a hashkafic issue, maybe. You know, like, so we look at them and their primitive medicine. You know, it worked. You know, medicine is a form of hishtadlus, and the Kurdish Baruch Hu sent Rafua. You know, and he did. You know, I have to tell you, 200 years from now, there's going to be, you know, when Mashiach comes, you know, whatever, but Mashiach doesn't come, they're going to look back and they're going to laugh at the primitive types of, you know, people got healed with that type of stuff. You could have killed them with that stuff. They're going to tell you 200 years from now about our medicine, you know.
It's like aspirin. Today, aspirin wouldn't be approved by the FDA because so many potentially bad side effects.
Right. And at the time, it was considered the... Okay. I was wondering how many people are going to walk by the thing before they pick it up. Thank you.
The
what? Test.
So that's
it. A person has a pain in his either in his both of his eyes or in one eye. Now, we're going to see later on that if what's threatened over here is not the whole body, just a specific limb of the body, that does not allow Chilul Shabbos Deraisa. Okay? So to save an eye, we're not allowed to do Chilul Shabbos Deraisa theoretically, because it's only an eye. But the question is, is an eye indicative of something more significant? So Chashish Be'enoi, test. So a person has a pain in his eye or even in, only in one eye. Yesh b'tzir b'shoshoshes mimenu demois machmas akev, that the eye was, the pain was such that already the eye was either a pus was coming out, or you know, some type of liquid was coming out, or the person was crying because it was tearing because of it. Or blood was coming out. So it has a rear is like I'm not sure exactly. Rear means also some type of a liquid coming out. So Machal and Love is a Shabbos. We do Chil Shabbos of these things. So Mishnah Berurah says, why is that mutter? Chav Beis, Be'enot. The Alva Gav, the Mishnah Sakan, is Eber, Ein Machal, and Be'isr Deraisa, the Kuliyama, Kila Kamam, and Sefiyat Zayin. Just to save a limb, we're not Machal Shabbos and Isr Deraisa through a Jew. A non-Jew, yes, but not through a Jew. So why are we Mechal Shabbos over here? Meaning a Jew will be Mechal Shabbos for this situation. Zibor says, Ayin Shiny, the eye is different. The Shuraika, the Eina, believe Italia, because of Chonis the Foshis. There's a direct connection between, like we discussed before, between the teeth and the heart. There's also a direct connection between the heart and the eye and the heart.
Is that what yesterday's discussion was about? Was about connection between the teeth and the
heart.
Okay. So if you had an infected tooth, you could be mahal shop.
Yes.
That the discussion was on. The back teeth has an effect on the digestive.
No, there's two things. There's one, which is that there's one concept where that there's a certain type of illness, which is a gum disease, which Chazal was talking about, which wasn't really a gum disease. It was more a disease of the digestive tract. So it started in the mouth and would continue on into the stomach, intestines, etc. So a lot of Mechal Shabbos, when it's in the mouth, because it's going to extend throughout the system.
You also have a direct connection between the teeth and the heart. It's called the mediastinum. It's a fascia. The infection can travel down the heart. It also goes to the brain.
So
directly through the bloodstream is why people often with certain heart conditions have prophylactic antibiotics before a death procedure, because the procedure itself will release bacteria. They didn't know that at this time, but release bacteria into the bloodstream that go right to the heart. And because of the abnormality, say with a heart valve, will infect the valve.
So here we're saying the same concept applies to the eye. If there's a fever with it, this is only either at the beginning or the middle of the machla. So the illness is already spent. It's the end of the illness. These simanim do not indicate danger. If you want to strengthen the eyesight again, that's just to strengthen his eyesight. That's not what we're talking about. Okay. Now, Sifyut gives you basically how we deal with the doctor's input nowadays. Yud, if the doctor tell you this is something which is life threatening, it's not a makash of cholol, it's on the outside of the body. If the doctor say this is something life threatening, you do chilul Shabbos. Now, we have an argument between two doctors. One says it's life threatening, and one says it's not life threatening. So loch is makhalol. We are makhalol, even though one doctor said not. But we have a sulfic. Sulfic, you're makhalol Shabbos. Okay. Now, v'yesh mishaymer she'ain sarach mumcha. Chomani adam chashuv mumchim ksas b'sufik nefashas l'hakol. Not only is it, we have two people which are considered experts, but two regular people. But said, listen, I recognize this thing, and I think this is from my information. I know this is a life-threatening type of illness. So you don't say, listen, what do you know? You don't know anything about medicine. You say, people have a certain amount. We're adults. We've been around. We've dealt with things. If I tell you, I really believe this is a life-threatening thing, we can't ignore that possibility. If you have an argument between a non-mumcha and a mumcha, we would follow the mumcha. That's talking about a Jew who he understands the importance of Shabbos, and still he's saying, I believe this is a life-threatening issue. So that person who understands the importance of Shabbos and still claiming, I believe it's a life-threatening issue, you can't ignore what he's saying. You have a goy who's not a roifer. He said, listen, I'm telling you, I know what it is, and it's dangerous. I don't know. He doesn't understand the weight of the issue over here. So why not say it's dangerous? So we do not give him the status of considered having knowledge. Okay. Misha wrote some La'ansa Shiavra Avera Gedoyla. they're forcing a person to do a tremendous aveira. And through Chilul Shabbos, we can save him from doing the aveira. Ein mechalan olav haShabbos keilat siloi. We do not do Chilul Shabbos.
In a very specific way.
Why is it here? Why is it? Right, you're saying we have a. Well, we'll see. AIDS is a question of spiritual life. In other words, how does that play in? We'll see. Mishabrut discusses what it'll be if his life is being threatened because of this. Okay. That's Mishabrut Chaf Hei. Sharoifim. If any Yehudi, even it's a non-Jew, it's a doctor which is not Jewish, and he says this is life-threatening. Kim Sharoifim Umenhu. He's an expert. So we have to. We're Mechal Shabbos.
Yeah.
Because of Red Raz, Chelodal, Simon Samavo. Imachela Oymer Tzarch, I need the truth of Plinus. I need a certain medication. The Rav says he does not need it. Sharman Lechela, you listen to the Chela. Imachela Rav Oymer Shoy is the truth of Tezekeya, unless the doctor says that medication will damage him. Because I Sharman the Rav, then you listen to the Rav. That's a quote from the Radvaz. Then he says, you find the source of this issue is a discussion by Yom Kippur. So from Jew knows that Porter Yom Kippur says, I feel I need to eat, otherwise my life is a threat. So you listen to the Chela over the doctor. The doctor says he has to eat. So he has to eat. The doctor says, no, he doesn't have to eat. But the Chela says, I'm telling you, I know I need to eat. You listen to the Chela and he has to eat. So you find this idea of Chazal say that you give the person has a better understanding of his needs than the doctor. Now this is sort of precursing the concept nowadays that the patient has to be involved in their care, because the patient knows better than anybody else what is really going on inside of himself, you know, after everything is said and done. Therefore, if the patient says, I have this pain in a certain area of my body, and we're not arguing that this medication addresses that, the question, does he have that problem? He says, I do. I said, no, you don't. He says, he does. So you listen to the patient. If the doctor says if a doctor says that medication will not help, however, it's not going to address, it's either going to damage, it's not going to help. So we're not arguing whether you have the illness, we're arguing that this is going to be the, solve the problem. So at that point in time, the doctor knows better what solves problems than the patient. Right? Now, what will be...
When it's done 4x4 hours.
What about the placebo effect? Sabir Lachor raises the issue of placebo. If this patient gets overwrought by you ignoring his request for that medication, even though that's not going to help. So Mishabur, there he says that you would be Mechal Shabbos for that. If that's going to cause the patient to get to the point where he'll be overwhelmed by that, because that itself could cause the situation to deteriorate.
Which is going to
harm him.
That's right.
Well,
the more gives you a rule, makas shachol, any internal organ, right? And then the external organs is gemoras, the eyes, the teeth, etc. That's gemoras.
Okay.
Sorry, what?
I thought the teeth were considered inside.
Right. We consider from the teeth is considered inside already. No, but the eyes are considered dangerous anyway. Mechalin. So even if one doctor says yes, one doctor says no, you're mechalin. Something the fashion is lahakul. Then some say we don't even need a mumcha for this. Shein tzarich mumcha chav zayin. Kamokam dafka k'shayyamer shemakir ba'isul cherli. To mashkazim simen tavrish. That means the non-mumcha says, listen, I see this. I've seen this before. I know what it is. It's X, and it's life threatening. So saying, you know what? I think it's life threatening. You know what? He's coming along saying he is recognizing what's happening as something which is dangerous. But however, against a mumcha who says that there's no need for chilul Shabbos, the non mumcha would not be nemel. Now, I don't know whether necessarily the definition of mumcha and non mumcha is depending on whether they have a college degree. You know, I think there's some people who have the college degree which are not mumchim.
I would say an experienced, if a child has a show an experienced mother, often will know.
Right.
And the doctor.
Right, you know, you have a person who's very. I'm thinking specifically of a woman I know in Cleveland that, you know, that the amount of time she's involved in Bikur Cherlim and visiting people in the hospital, and she's picked up, she knows, and she's telling, she's pointed out things to the doctor they didn't notice, you know. She doesn't have a degree, she doesn't even have a high, you know, she finished high school maybe, you know. But she's a smart woman and she knows, you know. You're midwives, you know.
Midwives these days have a degree.
Right. But once upon a time they didn't. And they still know a lot. Okay. Now, some say, however, that we say that everybody, the Chobanei Odom, is considered is a buck in this. How do I feel the Makashena Shacholo? Makashacholo is Makashacholo. So again, the Shulchan Aruch presents it as one opinion. It says a mumcha you listen to, and some say even a non-mumcha. So okay, if I have an option doing with a goy, I'll use a goy. But the Dafki Israel, the Kibun Shahum at Suva al Shabbos, he knows this from Shabbos. Varmer Lachal Eloy, and he's saying, listen, I'm telling you, don't. You have to do chilul. He feels confident in his expertise that this is a real issue. Whereas a non-Jew who doesn't understand the weight of the issue is, yeah, you know, it's a problem. You know, we don't know how seriously to take it. I live with this all the time when it comes to, you know, doctors telling patients they can't fast on Yom Kippur. pregnant women, etc. I don't take the words of, unless it's a frum doctor, I don't take the words of what they say very, very seriously. I mean, I listen to it, you know, I need to hear more. Tell me why, you know, I'm telling you they have, you know, I went out on a limb on that a few times, because any little thing, I mean, I don't fast, you know, well, you have to, they don't understand what your paper is.
Let's start at the top. What about Rabbo?
So, Al-Bastam.
It's all about
and this difference between a Jew and non-Jew is accepted halacha. Okay. Now, if they come to the force and do an aveira in mechal, then armelah the other chatei b'mishul sheyizka chaverko. We don't say that you should do an aveira to help somebody else not do an aveira. You should do an aveira to save somebody's life.
Robin,
you know, that's a mitzvah chilul. But you don't do an aveira to save somebody else's from an aveira. But was one of the three averus of Avodah Zorah, Gilirayas, and Shechus Dabin. Like he's supposed to.
And then there's
it's now Shabbos. And the guy goes over to Reuven and says, Reuven, do Avodah Zorah, I'm going to kill you. And by me doing Chilul Shabbos, I can save him. And I know if I don't intervene, he'll let himself be killed. So now I'm saving his life.
So now would there be a difference?
By Chilul Shabbos.
Isn't that like that person now like a who's threatening his life like a road ape?
Correct.
In general, why do we need to be taught
that? My question is, and the weekdays, I understand. But what about are you mechallel Shabbos to stop an aveira?
It's not. It's more than an aveira. It's that this person is taking as a person threatening his life by force, putting in a situation where the person, if he follows halacha, is gonna have to be killed. So he's like essentially essentially, it's like he's about to pull the trigger. Regardless.
Right, that's what he says, which we're saying.
So why are we dealing with the issue of Avera then? It doesn't seem like there's... So the question is where's the Avera that we're talking about? One is dealing with a clear sakana of his life. One individual. So why is it a question of whether or not we're allowed to break Shabbos to save somebody's life? We've been talking about all these situations where you're allowed to save somebody's life and you're allowed to break Shabbos. So what makes this case special? I guess that's my question.
Says maybe you'll do. Maybe Shem Mechal and they shouldn't come to that.
Right.
He says maybe on Mechal Shabbos they shouldn't come to do that, to kill him. Didn't say for sure.
So yeah, so that's what the
Gemara
says.
All right.
Right.
We still kill him.
Maybe not Mechal Shabbos. He doesn't say Mechal. He says it's a, you know, Mishnah Berurah says, you know, it's a possibility. He's not for sure about that halacha.
So this is a case he came up with then.
Yeah.
Wait. So what would be the flip side of it? Why would he not break Shabbos? Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't see the reason why you.
Yeah, we're all.
That's also possible, but not possibly killing him again, so that we would say Sufik, right? Sufik, you're machmer. You say the life is potentially in danger. You consider that as the main approach, and you save his life. I'm not sure I understand why Mr. Berlin says it as an Epsher. He does send you back to the end of Siman Shin Vav. I just want to point out an interesting thing before I answer your question. Where at the end of Shin Vav, So here in Sif Yudal, the last Sif in Siman Shin Vav, Misha Shochuloi, they sent him a message. They kidnapped his daughter to take her to the convent. So, mitzvah lost from the derech pa'amov. You can start traveling on Shabbos. Lots the shuttle bus lost to save her. Even after the three parsos, which is the nisa deraisa, that's chum deraisa. V'loy boy, if he refuses to go, Bezin goes in a love. Bezin will force him to do it. And he says, "Why the kibbutz simchin of this sif yud, which they change to, they change that." Yeah, sif yud. That's over here. That's sif yud. So on here, the Mishnah Berurah points out, A is talking about that she wasn't negligent. Okay, it was her own fault. You don't tell a person you should do an aveira to stop someone else doing an aveira if they cause the problem themselves. And he says, Durbanan, you would do in that situation, even though it was her fault. And he points out it's not only going past. But even if it means do malacha deraisa, you would do that.
Even if she was negligent? Or if she was not negligent?
Not negligent.
That basically.
So the argument being, the Mishnah Berurah says the Hasbara is that even though he's going to do Chilul Shabbos, if she's going to end up, you know, end in the convent, Shimon Machal, many Shabbos, and the Avodah Zarah, etc. So that's a larger Avera than the Avera which he's going to be doing to save her life, save her. So we say he does the smaller Avera to stop the larger Avera, in a case where it wasn't her fault. So the point is, so he's saying, so what does it say in Shin Chav Ches? So it means over here, you are Makal Shabbos to stop an Aveira. So he says, the difference is, Mishabura in Sivkat Nun Ches says that in our case over here, it was a one time thing. And over here, it was an ongoing issue. She's going to now become, go to the convent or whatever, they're going to convert her, and that's it. That's the rest of her life.
But in our situation, the person's life is in danger. Their physical life is being gained, because the case is, it's not simply that. I mean, if we were sure that the person was going to go not up Yahalacha, we could understand this reasoning. If we were confident that the person was going to go not up Yahalacha and just going to go and say, if it's a Avodah Zarah, they would worship a Avodah Zarah to save their life. So then I could understand his reasoning. But if we're assuming that the person knows the Halacha and that they're going to have the courage to give up their life rather than violate one of those three, then so now it's a different situation. It's pikuach nefesh.
You know, it's pikuach nefesh. And you're right, but at the same time, what he's doing, it's one thing, a person's life is in danger. Over here, the person's doing a mitzvah of having himself be killed. So am I mechuyev to do mechal Shabbos to stop a mitzvah?
This logic makes sense. Yeah.
I thought the mitzvah is only incumbent if there's no choice.
But he has no choice. He has no choice. But now the question, am I mechuyev to do an aveira to stop him? Well, what am I stopping? I'm saving his life. The shiloh here is, it's not being dealt with as pikuach nefesh. You dealt with a person in a situation where, under these circumstances, he has a mitzvah to give up his life. So I'm not sure that we deal with that as pikuach nefesh.
Therefore, the height for that is
theoretically, if we'd be holding the right madrega, it's just interesting. You know, this is, excuse me for going off to the side. There's a Rebbezin in Cleveland, her name is Rebbezin Osband. She's a survivor of the war. She was with her father when her father was killed by the Nazis, Yimach Shemom, and she escaped. She made it past the war. Baruch Hashem, she married. Tremendous Talmud Chacham. Children, tremendous Talmud Chacham. She once asked her students, "What do you think the happiest day of my life was?"
The day her father was killed.
So she said, what would you think? The day that you survived. The day of your chasna after the war. The first child's chasna. Right? Just the day I thought it was zeichah to be killed by Kiddush Hashem was the happiest day of my life. I thought I was going to be killed by Kiddush Hashem. I thought that was the happiest day of my life. Different, live and let, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Right. Why? Because the mitzvah is so great?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do we know which mitzvah is greater than the other one?
Kiddush Hashem is the Gemara says that Chil Hashem is every Avera. So Yom Kippur is Mechaper, Yom Kippur was together with Yisurim, Yom Kippur is together with the Mises is Mechaper, Chil Hashem, nothing can be Mechaper for it. And vice versa, Kiddush Hashem, which is the opposite of Chil Hashem, and Ben Yonah says the only Mechaper for Chil Hashem is Kiddush Hashem. This opportunity for Kiddush Hashem is the greatest opportunity that Klai is willing to give up their lives, all the generations. So she said she had the schus of being killed by Kiddush Hashem. Like, what bigger happiness did the person ever have? She's just pointing out her aura.
Right. So, I mean, once we see this answer, right?
Is it possible to ask the question from last night? There were actually two that I recall. One of them, Jonathan asked, we were talking about, Rabbi Haber was looking at the Dirshu Mishnah, looking at some of the modern day poskim, and the issue came up about taking medicine before on Shabbos to prevent a exacerbation like asthma. I think this was a true Rabbi Haber question. Jonathan asked the question about what if there's no eruv about going to hear Shul Shabbos morning so you can hear Kriyas Torah and carrying your asthma medicine. So it wasn't clear to me that that was the same, that would necessarily be permitted. It's one thing to take your medicine before to prevent an exasperation, while you're still at home, before you walk to Shul. It's another thing to say.
No, I don't think you can carry. You can't carry it.
So it'd be better to stay if you were
better stay. Right. There was the chiddush over there was that there's no iser on the iser taking medication is not said on Mokum. We have a real chaylik, so there's no aveir there. The iser of carrying is still an aveir. Teresi say there's no iser of taking medication under the circumstances where there's a real chaylik there. So it's not I'm doing a aveir, but it's mutter because of the danger. There's no aveir involved. Could I take the medication in a way where the Shalom Chilul Shabbos, if that was necessary, it was necessary. But to put yourself into a situation where it wasn't necessary for Tzad Dechali, it's not mutter.
That was my impression. Oh, the other question was really, I think, troublesome. Was this issue of the chiluk between a Jew versus a non-Jew? Take out a tooth, I guess, was the prime case. Now, this is it's not really nogea bizmanaz anyway, as the some of the contemporary posts can say that now that they know that taking out a tooth really is a for a significant toothache could really be a true repulling. But it was a question. Question raised in the Shabbat that it might even be a sakana. So even though we're talking about a situation where the person, apparently there's at least a suffix sakana, we're saying that with taking out a tooth is not a. It's not. Oh, it's the term he uses is it's not a refuah yadua.
So that's an interesting question. It's a very good question. In other words, we say that some of the suffer zakana, you're mechalal, you do whatever you have to do, right? But there is a limitation. Let's say there's a wives' tale refuah. It's never been proven that it works. We don't know that it works, etc. And that would involve an aveira. So Morris says you don't do it. You can't do that. So even though it might work, so we don't know that it doesn't work. It's not a kodra food. The word doesn't refu baduka, right? So even though we're mechalal, when we do the ma'isachilul, we're doing something which we know is effective, right? Or at least has potential, but something which I don't know. I mean, something doesn't work, right? But I need it to be effective. Which why lechara? Why don't you say to yourself, like, I can do whatever? Just try anything. See what happens. It might work. The Gemara isn't mad to that. Now, I don't understand the lumness behind it 100%. It's a good question. Why that is so?
Why if it's not you're doing, there might even be a sakana with the procedure itself. Then even on a weekday, why would you let anybody do it? What's the benefit of what do you gain by having a boy do the procedure?
No.
If you knew it was a benign procedure, there's no evidence that it works, then I could see a boy doing it. you know, maybe it'll work, but there's not really any solid evidence.
Yeah, you know, I think the main point of the Elyon Rabbah was it's not a refugio duah. So he says, have a goy duah. The Mishnah Berurah adds, you know, we find sometimes it makes things worse. Okay, it is the standard, you know, it is considered an accepted way of approaching it, so we're not going to say you can't do it, you know, because it might make things better, but it's not a refugio duah. But you know, the Morris example over there was that they had a belief that eating the liver of a rabid dog could cure rabies, right? So they catch the dog. So the Morris said, you can't do it because it's a derisive of eating the liver of a dog.
What?
Not kosher, right? But so the Morris says, and that's the Morris says this concept has to be a refuah b'duka. It has to be a known refuah. It can't be some other type of a.
What about these medications? You have the capsules.
You're talking about for asthma.
The capsules.
Gelatin. So that's an issue. Really, is that considered eating? The bear is to eat. In other words, if I'm ingesting it in that form, which is not a form of eating, is that in a bear? That's the issue over there. It's not really an issue of, it's, you know, because people taking gelatin capsules, not taking it for life-threatening issues. For the heter to be to do an aveira, any aveira, not only Shabbos, is it life-threatening? Right? The gel caps is a separate issue of. So you know what I tell people is in a case where the medication is available in a kosher form, you should pay the extra for kosher form. If it's not available in a kosher form, so then it's something which is the doctors feel it's important to take. You know, it's beneficial. There's enough to rely on that you can take the gel caps. Just a little more over here. The snake asura. Tell us yesh b'sakana. When actually the egg born. Shamdua by Yamar Shabbos, she sort of lasts the refuya dua. She by Malacha Schilu Shabbos, Shmana Yam. They say, listen, you have to start a refuya, it'll last for 8 days, and what'll be involved is something which will be in a veir. So we say, Ein Armim Namtin Adalaila, Vinimsa Shalom Lachala Olov Ela Shabbos Achas. Why don't we wait till tonight? Start the procedure tonight. Don't even call one Shabbos, as opposed to doing it now, which is two Shabbos. El Yasumiyad, do it right away. Al Misha Makala Lov Shte Shabbosis. Fine. Lachabas Aner Bashir Shayishan Ayin Leil Simon Shayin Kes. Regardless, are you allowed to put a lot? It's not a refuah, just you want the patient to sleep. You're allowed to put out the Nair to allow the patient to sleep. That was discussed before in Simon Shayin Kes. So, Dr. Mishabura Lamed Beis. Interim Nant, we don't say wait. Bain Steer Mizel, Lahal the Sif Dalad, which we said over there that we know we can wait and there's no need to do it on Shabbos. You're not Makal of Shabbos. So it says over there, the Hosam Aloy Marisha Yodeo Makar Shen Ayre Hamtanosa Ara Erev Lo Yagirshum Reyesulacherla. Over there, you know for sure that either we know damage to the patient by waiting. Ma Shaken Hoka, we don't know that. So we don't know that, we don't wait.
How do we decide what we know? I mean, we can't. Doctors are not medium. I have this issue with predicting the future. It's one thing to say, you know, make an assessment as to whether this is life-threatening. But here we're talking about something which is potentially life-threatening. Otherwise, we wouldn't be allowing this.
But we're saying that the difference in the starting the it's an eight day process, and if we wait another 5 hours, it's not going to make a difference in regards to it's not going to endanger his life. But you know, I mean, it has to be some level of, you know, experience, and obviously there's a certain amount you don't know, you know, how it impacts. You know, there's other factors.
Now, if we're talking with medicine, even a chol hashem kind of can take.
Correct.
So there, this is only
no. There's no need to wait. Right. There's no need to wait.
Even for Ambo.
Right. Once he has a din of a chayla, there's no way of taking medicine.
Any
person has an ongoing illness, right? So he's not mechuyev to try and make sure he takes it before Shabbos. If it's normal time to take it, it's on Shabbos. You know, he's a chayla. Chayla has no way of taking medication. Okay. Let's assume that it's through the machaber, the mishaberus, but tomorrow, but let's do your base. Yud Beis. Because you mechal on Shabbos al chayla sheyesh b'sakana. When you mechal on Shabbos for a person whose life is in danger, mishalon shaloi lasus al yedei en yehudi v'ketanim enoshim al yedei yisrael yigadolim u'bnei das. You do not use a non-Jew, a woman, or a child. You use an adult male Jew.
The last one is not the Gemara.
Can it really be the rav is supposed to teach people?
We saw that before in Sif Aleph. The point that we hear is saying that the it's important not to, why? Because once you're doing that, using a secondary, so people will run to find that person, even in a time where the time is of an issue, they're going to say, well, I'd rather get it on you. So we say, you know what, let's always use an adult does it this way, they're never going to look for non-Jew, they're going to do it right away. But if there's no time lapse, the guy is right next to me, do it. So the first thing he said, listen, that's true, but the next time we're afraid that the guy's going to start looking for the guy when he's not next to you,
right?
This opinion says no, we'll do it, we're next time, next time. But right now, if there's a guy right there, or if you do it with a shini, it's not a malacha deraisa, so without any adding any time, you do that. That's a minute. I will welcome the Yeshua. She is out to any Yehudi. If I'm afraid that the guy will not take it seriously, I'm a Jew. I'm saving the Jew's life. He's a guy saying, "How about a guy should die?" You know, like, you know.
Especially where right, Europe,
right? Ain't lost all your any Yehudi. Don't use a non-Jew because he's not going to take it as seriously as you would. This is one of the issues that, you know.